Am I right?
I wouldn't characterize it as an indirect attack, really, but
the township board's not a party to the case. The township board's not a party to this appeal.
Yes, that's true. But it's according to the ordinances and the application, that township consent is a condition precedent to granting the application. And because the township board did not have any valid meeting, they didn't, whether you call it a regular meeting or a special meeting, they didn't comply with notice to anybody on as far as that meeting. It also violated the open meetings law. And
that's the township board. And part of your argument, as I understand it, contemplates that the drainage board had an obligation to know that or learn that or investigate the efficacy of the township board's consent. Upon what rule or principle do you rely for that argument?
Well, as far as verification of the township's manner of proceeding, that was one of the issues that we raised with the trial court, was to take judicial notice of what I referred to as Little One, because these same parties went through the application process. Two of the township board supervisors signed off on that application without even having a meeting. And so we felt that that was important to consider in this proceeding also, where there had been a defect involving the township proceeding also. It's not necessarily the board's obligation to go out and investigate, but I certainly think it's the applicant's duty, if they want to provide proof that this is complied with, to perhaps show the county board that it's been complied with. That was raised at that second hearing, that we didn't know that information.
So with regard to what happened on the second round, and it appeared the township did have some sort of meeting, and I understand your notice requirement, but it appeared it was more than just one, the supervisor signing off.
Yes, the township board had a meeting.
So isn't there an appeal process that you could have pursued with regard to the township approval prior to getting before the board? Or, excuse me, prior to... isn't there an appeal process in place if you believe that an action of the township board was improper?
Well, we didn't really have that information until we got to circuit court, actually. And so at that time, I suppose I could have instituted another appeal of the township.
Meaning you didn't know that there had been this second attempt and approval by the township until a later point in time?
We knew that the township board had signed off on the application. We did not know that they had not complied with any of the notice requirements in order to have their meeting.
But this followed Little One. So wouldn't you be attentive to what's happening at the township board level after having litigated the issue in what you describe as Little One and having the circuit court decide as it decided, and then seems like you would stay engaged in those proceedings and know that? Are you saying you didn't know what happened with the township board and how they did what they did in this second round?
Right, until we had the hearing at the circuit court level.
So I take it that means that you didn't raise those concerns before the board, since you didn't know about them.
Actually, we raised the concern as to whether or not the board had information to verify whether or not the township had actually complied with the law, since they hadn't the first time.
But you had no information that they had not, that you brought before the board.
That's
the drainage board.
As far as our other point, we think that the ordinance clearly calls for publication before a hearing is held. And we feel that the publication should have been made before that second hearing. We don't feel that that's an unreasonable reading of that ordinance. The ordinance says all hearings should be published and people should get that notice. And part of the reason that I would say that that's reasonable, first of all, is that, this involves substantial property rights. You know, when a quarter of land is worth $500,000 or $1 million, to say that we're going to have a hearing tomorrow to decide this issue that's going to affect your land, I think the more reasonable interpretation is it is reasonable to publish notice and have advanced notice of these hearings before they make a final decision. The other thing is that the publication requirement, I don't believe it's not specific to an individual. It's to let other people know in the county, downstream landowners, that they're going to make this decision and have this hearing. And obviously that was not done. And so we don't believe that that shortened notice complied with their own ordinance. And they should not have had that hearing. If they would have had that hearing, if they would have published notice, then obviously the Littles would have had a chance to participate in that second hearing, and perhaps the outcome would have been different.
I want to ask about this evidence about the removing the earlier removal of this driveway in Colford. Is there anything in the record, either offer proof or actual evidence that demonstrates what impact, if any, that removal of the driveway and the culvert had on this drainage, the clean out of the ditch drainage on the application?
That was raised, I believe, in Little One. The removal of the driveway and culvert is actually referred to in this application in the township board minutes. It's not part of this application, but it's still out there as an issue.
Right. And then, but what I'm asking, what impact did that actually have on drainage in the area, if any? I mean, the fact that it was removed, maybe it didn't have any impact on the drainage. How would the Hanson County Drainage Board even know without some kind of evidence?
Well, and I think that's the purpose of having the Littles show up at the hearing. But I do think that was addressed in Little One. In the hearing at this proceeding, Mr. Little testified that had not been remedied. And so I believe those are actions. I mean, they're illegal actions because they altered the drainage without going through the proper procedure. They should have been addressed first before this permit was granted.
When you said Mr. Little testified to that at this hearing, you're talking about at the June notice hearing?
At the circuit court hearing.
Okay. So if your argument on notice depends upon, well, if your argument here depends upon notice or lack of notice for that continued hearing in July after it was tabled, I'm looking at the minutes, and I know that you visited with the Chief Justice about this. Wouldn't you have to preserve that argument by not necessarily not showing up, but wouldn't you have to say something at the drainage board meeting or hearing and say something like, I'm here, my clients aren't here, there was an 11th-hour notice, and I'm doing the best I can, but I don't think you're doing this right. I think that you should be giving notice. I'll do what I can, but you know, I want everyone to be clear, this is where my client's position is. The minutes don't indicate you said that, and I thought maybe you mentioned to the Chief Justice that you didn't, but I want to make sure that I understand whether you did or you didn't. And don't you think, if you didn't, don't you think it's important that, I mean, that you give that sort of opportunity to the Drainage Board to correct what you now claim to be an error?
Mr. Knipe, your time's up, but I'll give you
I'm sorry, forgive me. Without the lights, I'm all messed up.
I would say that I told the board about half of that. I mean, that I was here, the Littles were not available, I could not contact them. you know, obviously I'm here to do the best I can. I did not ask for a continuance of the hearing in those explicit words, you know, but I think they were fairly put on notice that these parties did not have an opportunity to provide them information.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Fink, you may proceed with your argument.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the court, counsel. As you know, my name is Mike Fink, and I represent Hanson County and the Hanson County Drainage Board. I'll be referring to that group generally as Hanson County. I want to start out by speaking of an issue that we left off on with Mr. Knipe's argument, that is the record below. And if we compare the record coming from the Drainage Board in this case with that, say, in the case of Carmody v. Lake County, which is another Drainage Board hearing that came before this court, in the Carmody case, what you saw is a wealth of documentation, a wealth of documents provided by the challenger, Mr. Carmody, in that case. And you also saw Mr. Carmody, who was challenging the decision, actually taping the proceedings. So he did what he could do to preserve his arguments so that when the matter was appealed to the circuit court, Judge Elshire in that case had a wealth of information, had the information that the board considered, and then she could decide whether, based on that information, the board abused its discretion. What we've heard today are several statements by Mr. Knipe about what he did and what he said, but some of those points were not even addressed before Judge Giles in the circuit court appeal. If you look at the record that's been preserved about what was presented to the Drainage Board, that record is really very thin. And there's nothing in the record about what information was presented to the Drainage Board about the manner in which the township, Spring Lake Township, made its decision, how they came together as a group, how they voted, that type of thing. And so the argument about the township authority being improperly given fails really for three reasons. First of all, as I indicated, the record does not give any indication that the Drainage Board was really provided with enough facts to even question whether something had been done by the township. Moreover, since the briefing in this case, I went back and I reviewed SDCL 1-25, which is the open meeting chapter. And in the briefing, Mr. Knipe, on behalf of the Littles, he basically skips over the very first statute, which indicates under what circumstances the open meeting rules must be followed. And if you look in the pocket part, we see that statute has been recently amended. And as of today, and as of the time of this meeting, there was an exemption for meetings of township supervisors when those supervisors are meeting to carry out ministerial functions. The maintenance of a road, the maintenance of the right-of-way, which would include drainage within the ditch, is a ministerial function of the township. So even if we get into the merits of what the township did, arguably the township did not have any obligation to notice their meeting before they actually went ahead.
Is that a ministerial function?
I would argue that it is a ministerial function. Draining the roadway, this court has held that maintenance generally of a township road is a ministerial function, and that's from Willoughby v. Grimm, a 1998 case, 1998 SD 68. In another case, Sorensen v. Somerville, this court more recently held again that dealing with the maintenance of a township road is a ministerial function. I don't think that issue really is before the court because there is a method of appealing a township board decision if a party is aggrieved by what the township is doing. There's a mechanism to take that forward separately. That did not happen here.
How would you respond to Mr. Knipe's argument that they didn't know what had happened because of the lack of notice. So how could they have exercised that appeal?
I guess my response to that would be that we don't even get to that argument because neither did the drainage board obviously know that there was some procedural issue with the township. And so if we're looking at whether the drainage board abused its discretion, I think the admissions by Mr. Knipe are that not even the Littles knew of some procedural issue before the township. So again, looking at whether the board abused its discretion, I don't see how they could have abused their discretion when the issue hadn't even been developed in front of them.
I don't want to range too far afield, but maybe indulge me just for a minute. As we talk about, you know, whether Mr. Knipe's clients should have known about the township's consent or not consent, and there's this backdrop of this initial case that Mr. Knipe calls Little One that we don't have. It's not in front of us, and it's not part of this record. But I'm curious how it is that Mr. Knipe's clients apparently knew what the township did in Little One, and how it is that whatever issue they had with the township board's consent in Little One found its way to the circuit court there, but not here. And maybe that's a question for Mr. Knight.
Well, to be honest with you, Your Honor, I think that the hearing that was held in the appeal of Little One was very much like what we would expect if there was a de novo review of a drainage board decision. After the drainage board granted the Paulson permit in Little One, the matter went in front of Judge Giles on appeal. And it's at that hearing where there was substantial testimony about the lay of the land, you know, how things would be affected if the project went through, how the driveway and the culvert are important to the situation. And so the record before Judge Giles was supplemented by a vast amount of testimony heard at that time.
So when is that? I see. Thank you. So that's how whatever issue with the township board was laid bare in that subsequent appeal that went back down and
right.
Is something that we don't have in front of us. But that helps me understand.
Right. And my practice stepping in when I did in this case, Your Honor, was to be very careful to confine the issues to the application that was before the board. After the first Paulson application was dealt with, that application was not brought back before the drainage board for further proceedings. There was a brand new application filed.
Right, it wasn't a remand. Forgive me, I misspoke.
And so my focus going forward with the circuit court proceeding was to focus on just the information that was available to the board when they made the decision on this application. And so again, when we look at the record before you, there is a transcript of the hearing in Little One. That was not accepted by the court as substantive evidence, if you will. It was received so that Mr. Knipe could preserve his objections before the board. Mr. Knipe did not testify himself before Judge Giles about what information he gave to the drainage board. So it would have been improper for Judge Giles, in my view, to even have relied on Mr. Knipe's statements about what information he knew or his clients knew. The real question was what information was relayed to the drainage board. And in this case, there is no substantial record of any township deficiencies being laid at the table of the drainage board.
Can you address the argument that your opponent is making that the notice of the first hearing before the board is not the only notice required, that the continued hearing also required notice?
Okay, so Your Honor, I guess I didn't find any authority about what it means to have something tabled, so I went back to Black's Law Dictionary, and Black's Law Dictionary defines tabling as suspending the proceedings. And so the argument that I have for you today is that the publication requirement was met. The board held a proceeding, as was properly noticed. Mr. Knipe and the Littles appeared at that proceeding. There was then a tabling. And with that tabling, it's not as if the matter was delayed for 6 months. The matter was delayed to the next county commission hearing the following month. And in terms of notice, from that point in time, I think the auditor went beyond what is required by the ordinances by actually calling, or I should say emailing, Mr. Knipe and making sure that he knew that the proceeding was going to continue. When that second meeting took place, I was actually at that second meeting then. Mr. Knipe was there. He had an opportunity to present his argument, and he didn't raise any request for a further delay. He didn't request an opportunity to present further information. If he had made a request like that, perhaps the Drainage Board would have done something different. But in terms of notice, the Littles, through their attorney, were given notice of the proceedings. These are somewhat informal proceedings. Drainage boards don't always know due process arguments. They aren't attorneys necessarily, although I was there, Your Honor. But I guess my point in bringing that up is that I think the auditor, in calling or emailing Mr. Knipe, actually went beyond what the ordinance requires.
Counsel, let me interrupt for a moment, because you said that at that June meeting, it was tabled and continued to the July meeting. You weren't at the June meeting, correct?
I was not at the June meeting.
So is there anything in the record, or where in the record would it indicate that at the June meeting, it was continued until the July meeting?
It was not continued to any date certain, and Judge Giles noted that in his ruling, that it would have been better if there would have been a date certain for the tabling. But again, Your Honor, I go back to the idea of giving notice. The whole point of the notice provisions in the ordinance is to make sure that the people who are interested in the matter have an opportunity to come to that next meeting. That notice was effectively given to Mr. Knipe personally. And if Mr. Knipe felt that notice was not properly given, my position is he should have made a record with the board. He should have made a request for a delay. He should have raised that issue at that time instead of waiting to develop that issue before the circuit court.
So would you acknowledge that, and maybe it's not squarely presented here, but just on general principles, would you acknowledge that the Drainage Board in this case couldn't take up an issue, table it, and then just circle back to it whenever they wanted to, without in some form or fashion getting back to the people who were affected and telling them we're going to revisit this?
I would absolutely agree with that. Okay. I think that would make sense, and I think that would fit within the spirit of the notice requirements in the statute. I think the same basic argument could be made with respect to the posting of notice out on site. Hanson County has taken the position that whether there's an actual sign at the site is something that the county in its discretion can require. The way the language reads, it says at the county's direction, there shall be a sign posted. I'm paraphrasing, but my point is that if a posting of a sign was always going to be required, then the ordinance shouldn't have the language that says at the county's direction. And so I don't believe that that's a clear violation of the notice provisions. And in any event, the Littles had notice of the proceeding. I want to move on to the due process argument that was made. And in the reply brief by Mr. Knipe, he cites several cases that are really condemnation cases where an entity is going to be taking land for public use. In that instance, this court has held that if there's going to be a taking of property through condemnation, the notice given is a due process right to be receiving notice. However, that does not apply in administ- administrative issues like this. And that case came up in the Troy Township case that's cited by both parties. And so this court has firmly established in Troy Township that administrative action does not adjudicate the life, liberty, or property of specific individuals. As such, administrative action is not quasi-judicial, and therefore constitutional due process requirements do not apply. And again, the due process cases cited by the Littles deal with condemnation, where you have an actual property interest that's taken away. In the Carmody case, this court noted that regardless of what happens in the administrative proceedings, the Littles still have a remedy. If their property is damaged by something that Mr. Paulson or his contractors do with the ditch, there's still a remedy. It's not like they lack a method to seek an injunction, for example, from the circuit court in the civil proceeding.
Time is up, Mr. Fink.
And so then I'll just briefly conclude.
You can conclude.
Okay. And for those reasons, Your Honors, I'm asking that this court affirm the circuit court and find that the drainage board did not abuse its discretion. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Knipe, you have 5 minutes for your rebuttal.
Thank you. First of all, I want to present the flip side of the Crawford case. It's true, as you go through that Crawford case, that there's an abundance of material that's referred to, not only by Mr. Crawford, but by the county, where they have a staff person come in and give all this information, and there's a record of that. And in this case, there's no record either of what information the county had. It basically says, we consider these specific items that are laid out in the ordinance, it's approved. And so to that extent, there is no record saying what the county relied on either in making their determination. Basically, I think the county's position is, as long as we go through, recite those standards, it's protected on appeal because it's not a de novo repeal, or it's not a de novo hearing at the circuit court level. When you're talking about notice, and I mean, as you go through this case, when you're talking about the township board action, even if the open meetings law doesn't apply to that, there are notice requirements for special meetings of the township or regular meetings of the township. And it's not even argued, I don't think, that the township didn't comply with those. And as far as notice to the Littles particularly, I don't think there's any authority given this court that in this kind of proceeding that notice to an attorney is notice to the interested parties. This is not a court proceeding. There is no notice of appearance. There is no statutory rule saying that notice the attorney is sufficient service of notice on those individuals, and this is an excellent case to illustrate why. But the other thing is that notice, again, with regard to their own ordinance, when it says publication for all hearings, that is as clear as it can be. And when you're talking about interested parties, as I said, it's not just particularly the Littles. The publication is for all landowners that might want to show up and give information at this hearing. Because drainage doesn't start here and end here. Drainage, if you alter it, starts here and goes down, in this case, into a creek that goes through the middle of my client's property and then down further. So the publication requirement makes sense because it lets other people show up, not just the Littles, and provide information as to whether or not this permit should be granted.
Were there any other downstream landowners that appeared at the June meeting to raise concerns?
Not at the June meeting, I don't believe so.
Thank you.
The other thing is, as far as saying that this was tabled and it wasn't a new hearing, how long does that last? I mean, it may be fine to say that this came up at the next meeting. Where's the rule that says 5 months from now, if you table something and then we give you a one-day notice, you're supposed to show up and present information? Where is that rule to define how long a tabling lasts? And I think that's another good argument for publication of that next hearing, because it gives the parties the chance to come in, give information so that they can, the drainage board can make an informed decision based on all the information that should have been presented to them. That's all I have, Justices, unless you have some questions.
Thank you, Mr. Knight.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the parties' arguments in this case. The case is now submitted to the court. The court will remain in the courtroom while we wait for the parties in the next case to set up. So...